Log Talk Radio.
Bringing up the whole of the Father. It wasn't up to the reality of Father, who we are, history, Lord God. I've even started to look like another Father. We are able, Father, to understand, Father. And God has given us a peace of mind, Father. Give us another day, God. Oh, Father, we can think of you this day, God. Oh, Father, we have so much, Father. We can't do nothing but just pray to get to the utmost, God. Father, thank you, God, for being in the house of prayer one more time, God. We're here, Father, together in your name, Father, because well, I can understand that you are in the midst today, God. Father, we just want to ask the Father, your word come for us one more time, Father. God, we ask you to bless the teacher, Father, with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Father. Oh, God, we ask you, Father, that teachings of the word, God, that will be enabled, Father, to pour out, Father, but in the spirit, Father, that we return, Father, we will not be the same, Father, that we'll be about change, God, we will rise up out of ourselves, Father, and be who you have called us to be, Father. Oh, God, there's so much that we can say, so much that we can do, God, but we thank you, Father, how you're good in each and every one of us. God bless you. Bless those that are on the way, God. Bless those that are not coming, God. And Father, you are alive and dancing. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen.
Praise
the
Lord. And if you have your Bibles, then go to the book of Jeremiah. Our main lesson comes from the third chapter of Jeremiah. I couldn't print. I had some outlines to print out, and somehow or another I got into some mode. My computer got into mode this afternoon, and I to print everything, so we're going to work. Again, I hope you have your notebooks and the pads, and you can take your notes and references and whatever. You may be seated, and you can go through. I'm going to read from you international version, but I'm going to do a little background on Jeremiah. Tonight we're going to talk about obedience to God and the messages. The message God's words being sent to his people, how to hear and how to obey God and understand that success, once we obey God, success follows obedience. We're 29:30 in chapter 1. We're going to go back and forth basically chapter 1 and then our main lessons come to 29 and 30. So, if I asked you the question tonight, what is success, what would your answer be? What is success? Can you give me your version? Somebody give me their version of what they think success is. Accomplishing something. That's good. Anybody else? What is success? Give me your version of success. If it's by somebody you saw that you think are successful, that you consider them to be a success, tell me what your version of success is. One more person. Now they go home, are you? Y'all still here? Anybody know what the word success means? To excel. All right, to excel, to accomplish something. Most people refer to success as achieving goals, some of them acquiring wealth, prestige, power. Successful people enjoy the good life, being financially and emotionally secure, and being surrounded by people that admire them, people that build them up and boost their ego. They enjoy the fruits of their labor right here, right now, so they call it success. They are leaders. They are opinion makers. Some of them are goal setters and lawmakers. Some of them are even trendsetters. I want to look on them and they say, you know what, I like their style. I like the way they dress. I like the way they walk, talk, look, their hairstyle. So I'm going to copy that. So they kind of set the atmosphere or set the trend. People will usually follow. People will follow a lifestyle. They notice your accomplishments. And good or bad, it's sad to say that some people do follow bad lifestyles, the bad accomplishments. To them, that's successful. Some people's rendition or version of success is you got to have a lot of money. You can be as miserable in the other part of your life. You know, almost dead or whatever, mad, crazy, crippled, whatever. If you got a lot of money, they consider that to be successful. So when people notice your accomplishments, they want to follow you. They know who you are, where you are going, and you work confidently to meet your goals. So you say you have success. But if we go by these standards, Jeremiah was miserable and he was a failure because he didn't have what we consider success. For 40 years, he served as God's spokesman. He spoke to Judah and to Israel. But when Jeremiah spoke, nobody listened. How about that? Remember the old commercial a long time ago when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens and everybody get quiet? How about nobody listened to Jeremiah when he spoke and when he gave warning and he proclaimed whatever God told them, they didn't pay attention, but he still had to do what God said to do, right? Consistently and passionately, he urged the people, he urged them to act on what he told them. Guess what? Nobody moved. Kind of puts you in mind of Noah. All of his, he was building on that ark, and he kept telling them it's going to rain, and they're picking at him and laughing and saying he's crazy, lost his mind, because they had never seen it rain, right? For 120 years, he was still building that ark. God gave him a charge. God told him what the future was going to hold, what was going to happen. He didn't bend, he didn't flicker, he didn't fumble, but he kept right on going. No matter what they did, he wasn't concerned about what they thought. And a lot of people are not successful in God because they're so concerned about what other people think. And I don't mean that in a negative way, because actually you should, on a positive, you should be concerned about what other people think of you, especially if you're a child of God and you're living the life. You need to know that people know that you're living the life and you ain't living all kind of ways. But you should not be concerned to the point that if you do what God tells you, the folk are talking about you. Hello? They'll walk away from you. You won't have them saying friends no more. If God can leave from doing the will of the Father, then don't be concerned about them. You need to do what God says. So when Jeremiah spoke, nobody listened. And he was going about doing the will of the Father. He never did get a material success. He didn't have a lot of money or a big mansion to live in. He was poor. He underwent strong, severe deprivation. He was deprived of a lot of things a lot of the luxuries that they had, even the foods that they had and the clothing and the houses that they lived in, a lot of those luxuries he was deprived of. But he still had to deliver the prophecy. Hello? And some people judge a successful preacher is one of the $5,000 money suits. I think I'd shoot myself if I put that kind of money in a suit. That's a waste of money. Materials will rip their tear. They going to deteriorate someday.
Yeah.
But look at all that money. I think they owe me some change. $4,999 to be exact. Hello?
Yeah.
But we count success in those ways, of what you've got, the car you drive, the house you live in. To us, that's success. Jeremiah was thrown in the prison in chapter 37. He was in the cistern, way in the bottom of the prison. You know how they have the prison, then they go down into the dungeon where there's like water and wetness and feces and all this kind of stuff like that. He was down in there. I don't know too many people today that would preach the gospel if they had to go through something like that. Because Jeremiah had to endure these things. And he was taken to Egypt against his will. He was rejected by his neighbors. They didn't like him. They didn't want nothing he had to say. His family rejected him. The false priests and the prophets made fun of him. They didn't like him. They rejected him too. His friends walked away from him. His audience that used to listen to him stopped listening to him because all he ever prophesied was doom and gloom. They don't want to hear you tell them the real prophecies. They want you to tell them, I'm going to get God going to bless you with a five-bedroom home. When you go to the bank tomorrow, you're going to have $5,000 in your bank account. You ain't work nowhere. You don't have no money. You have no way of getting an income. And all of a sudden, $5,000 is going to appear in your bank account. So they don't want to follow you when you start telling them. If you don't stop lying, cheating, stealing, whoremongering, using drugs, or whatever else you're doing, that's out of the will of God. Stop being disobedient. If you don't start serving the Lord with your whole heart and whole day, if you don't start giving your tithes and your offerings into the house of God and stop listening to these fools out there telling you you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. They don't want to hear you telling God, say, if you don't turn back to him and follow his way, judgment is going to come on you. So they start walking away from it. He ain't have no audience no more. Nobody was listening to his prophecies. He said, you know, that's talking all out there into the atmosphere. But God didn't care. He told Isaiah and Ezekiel the same thing. Whether they hear or whether they forbear, I don't care. You still tell them. If they like it or they don't, I really don't care. I'm trying to save their life. Now I want you to go tell them what I say. He said, they ain't going to even hear you. Y'all already warned them. He already said they're not going to hear you. They don't want to hear nothing you got to say. You'll be talking to people about the Lord. Sometimes people know more about God when it feels like it fit their plan, their lifestyle. Now they want to preach to you and tell you the same for God. When you start talking about the Lord and telling them the truth about their lifestyle and where things are going, they don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. You don't know what I'm talking about. Stop judging me. Lord have mercy. Stop judging me. It's the word of God. He said, I don't judge you. Your actions judge you. So throughout his life, Jeremiah stood alone. And on this journey, I mean, though, sometimes you'll have to stand alone. Some people can't serve God because their buddies won't come. They can't give up that other lifestyle because their friends are still over there. They can't walk toward holiness and righteousness because all of their pals and their buddies, and they can't separate from them. The Bible says darkness don't have nothing to do with light. When you come over on the Lord's side, you're all the way over there. If you try to stay on God's side and the devil's side, this is the way you look. One leg longer than the other. Sure, you look deformed. Why? Because you're trying to serve God and the devil. You can't do both. Well, you know, I'm just witness to them. Quit lying. Quit lying. You're sitting up there listening and y'all having a conversation. Y'all having a good time talking over old times, and sometimes you may even flip and hit a little bit. Hello? Why? Because now you don't put yourself in a predicament. You put yourself in a compromising position. And people say, Lord, deliver me from alcohol. Lord, deliver me from drugs. Lord, deliver me from this man. And every time you look around, they're going about alcohol or going somewhere with somebody drinking. Hello? Or somewhere where somebody didn't have party in this man's face. Now God had already separated y'all, moved him first away from you, and now you will find him. But you say, Lord, this will be, take this man out of my heart. You the one looking for him. God already moved him. He left you. Let him stay out there. Or woman, she left you. She wasn't no good when she was there. Let her stay out. Why are you going to find her? A dog going back to his vomit. Hello? God delivered you from that, and then you're going to go, God bless you, thank you. Then you're going to go and get it back. This is like telling God, you didn't know what you was just going to do. Let me deliver. And then when you go back and get that, then get double trouble, and things get worse, and now you blame God. You have told you to take this man from me. I took him from you, sister. You went back and got him. Hello? But we don't see that stuff. All we see is that something bad is happening right now. So Jeremiah had it. He had God's message of doom, and people didn't want to hear that. They don't want to hear you telling them, God said, stop lying, stop sinning, stop committing adultery, separate while you're sleeping in the house of this man, while you're sleeping in the house of this woman, and you are not married to them. God said your body belongs to him. They don't want to hear you tell them that God made a woman for a man and a man for a woman. They don't want to hear the truth. Hello? So they start separating from you. Every time you look around, I'm going to be around the Lord, but you're always talking about Jesus and sin. They don't want to hear you preach about sin. If you go to church and the preacher's preaching and telling you to clean up and get your act together and stop sinning, folk are not there. You got three people and the preacher. Because they don't want to hear it. But if you said, oh, the Lord forgives and the Lord loves you, and you know, God is a just God, and he'll bless you with a house and a car, and you just go ahead on and give your last offering into the house and watch God move. And they want to hear all this nonsense. And God told me if you bring $100,000 to the church, he's going to give you this. They want stuff. They have fantasies. Mm-hmm. but what they want from God. God gave us salvation. He saved us from that wretchedness. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. If your treasure is on things, if you're trying to accomplish things and trying to get things, then that's where your heart is. And guess what? That's what's going to destroy you. That's what's going to kill you, because when you want to run to the Lord and God calls you, you ain't giving it up. You'll be like Nicodemus, oh, man, I, you know what? I kept all them laws since I was a child, but I don't know about giving up my wealth. The rich young ruler. He don't know about giving up. You'll be just like him. I don't know. Let me think about that a little bit longer. It's 5 minutes to midnight. It's almost 12 midnight. But people still thinking, let me think about the Lord. I'll let you know by the end of the week. And some of them don't make it to the end of the week. Hello? So he was announcing that there was going to be a new covenant. And thank God for the God that we serve. How he made the covenant. He made it fresh for Israel and Judah. But they were not satisfied. They wanted more. People are so I'm telling you, we were so disagreeable with what's right and what's good. And we're so ungrateful. Ungrateful because it ain't what we think it ought to be. God has not given it to us the way we think it should be or the way we think it ought to be. If success don't come the way we think it should come, then we're disobedient. We make up our own rules and our own laws and start doing things our own way. How about God said, I'm going to give a new covenant to my people. What I got to take them through? And so he was weeping over what God had told him. My beloved Jerusalem, my beloved Judah, Israel, how much I love you. And now you're going to go into captivity. You're going to go into ruin because of your own heart. It's stiff neck stuff. When the preacher is crying, we're back to today. When the preacher is crying out to God for you and praying for you and telling, teaching you the word and sweating and trying to educate you. And you say, no, but I think I'm going to just go ahead and do it good because I just want to go to hell. Hello? Basically, that's what you're saying. Maybe not in those words, but when you're defiant and disobeying God, is what you're saying. That's what Israel said. You know what, God, you was all right. You delivered us out of Egypt and all that. Man, that was good stuff you did. You know, you were cool. But we still want to do our own thing. We want to be like the other people. How about that? We're never, ever satisfied with the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. We're never, ever satisfied with the real, true, and living God. We always want our own way. We always want our own thing. And God told Jeremiah, let the people know if they don't get it together, this thing is going to happen to them. He said, you tell them what I say. So in the eyes of the world, because Jeremiah always prophesied doom and gloom to the people, they consider doom and gloom. And he was crying and mourning for them. He was warning them because he loved them so much, trying to save their lives. They said he wasn't a success. He's not successful. But in God's eyes, Jeremiah was one of the most successful people in all of history. Success, when it's measured by God, involves obedience and faithfulness. If you want to succeed, you have to go by way of God. As children of God, we have to put God first in everything. Sometimes we make our decision and we go to God afterwards. Now we want him to fix the mess that we made. He's not obligated to do that. Hello? Because the Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of what? And everything else will be what? Added unto you. Somebody know the Bible and some of them don't. Why y'all so little? Open your mouth and talk. When the question is not, open your mouth. Hello? But Jeremiah, they said, he was not successful, but God does not measure our success. Thank God he said, are his ways not our way? His thoughts are far from our thoughts as the east is from the west. We don't think like we think. So regardless of opposition and personal cost, Jeremiah courageously and faithfully proclaimed the word of God. People may not like you, but you stand on the word of God. Huh? And there are people that can take the word of God and turn it around and make it sound so good to fit your sin. And because you want to do that thing, you say, you know what, God, you know what, you might be right. Because it sounds good to the flesh, that's the itching ears. Bible says, if it is, meaning you want to hear something that's going to feed your flesh. You're not going to want to hear the truth. The Bible said they're going to turn away from the truth. They're going to listen to fables, lies, and tales. That bishop was showing me on Facebook where they had a video of a man supposedly walking on pool water. I said, now they ought to walk him, take him out to the ocean. Because I know in the pool, that's one probably one of these crystal things like this up under there where you can't see it. And then he's walking on that. But take him to the ocean. Let me see him walk from the waves across the ocean. Jesus didn't walk on a pool. He walked on the ocean. And I said, he need to quit playing. And he's going, oh! Oh, people will fall for foolishness. They will. Nonsense. They will fall for that in a minute. But the truth, they don't want to hear. They do not want to hear the truth. So Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, the first chapter started with the call of the prophet. He got his call. And so after that, the next 38 chapters are prophecies about Israel, the United Nation, and Judah, the southern kingdom. Chapters 2 to 20 are general and undated. The chapters 21 to 31 are particular, and they are dated. The basic theme for Jeremiah's message is simple, that even a fool can't err. All he said was repent and turn back to God, or you won't be punished. I mean, you could say that in Spanish and still understand. Right? You could say it in Creole and still understand. A beating is a beating. I don't care what language you're speaking in. If you get a beating, everybody will know you're getting a beating. Right? Because you're going to be hollering and making some noise. Hello? You might be hollering in Creole or Spanish, but just everybody outside will know you're getting a whipping. But no matter what language, you're a beating is a beating. So either repent and turn back to God or severity. There's punishment. He's going to punish you. God went along with Israel for quite a while. He went along with their disobedience and Judah and their defiance and their worshiping of the gods. They want to be like the other people. Told them from day one, when y'all go to the promised land, don't act like the people. Separate yourself. Let's go over there and wipe them all out anyway. Get rid of all of them. No, they want to save some. The women look too good. Men kind of fine. We can do something with this. We can work with this. A lot of people make that same mistake. They meet somebody, they look good, they sound good, they're very intelligent, they have a pretty good job, you know, and they're full of lies, but you can't see it because you don't look good. And I thought, if I would work with that, you know. He said, Jesus wept, or the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In every scripture, everybody knows that now you say he's saved. No, you don't tell you I'm saved, I'm going to church. My grandmother used to go to church, and I went when I was 10, and he's 39 now. But you got him, and he's saved, Pastor. And all he wants to do is get you to where he wants you. And when he's through with you, it'll be just like Tamar and her brother. Hello. When he was done with her, he spit on her. He hated her. He despised her. Sin ain't got no good feeling for you. Sin wants to destroy you. That's what life is all about. Seeking right judgment, right, doing the right thing in God. We don't have time to play games. Time is out for playing games. And Jeremiah began to talk to Israel, but he didn't want to do it. He know the people. God had already told them, they ain't going to listen to nothing you say. Tell them now. Now, I didn't know. Preacher's already in that place. Y'all already know. Y'all ain't going to listen. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord said anyway. And it's a shame, and it's a sad thing, regardless of the opposition and whatever it costs to you, as a man or woman of God, you need to stand your ground and do and say what thus says the Lord. Because in the end, whatever you lose on this side, it can't even add up to what you lose on the other side. Can't even touch, not even an iota of it, will even touch, amen, what you'll lose on the other side. Jeremiah, he was courageous. He courageously and faithfully proclaim the word of God. He was obedient to his calling. We have to be obedient. God, all of us, you may not be a preacher, you may not be a pastor, but if you are a born-again Christian, and the thing is that most Christians don't understand the word born again. Well, that's the new way of saying sanctified. In my day, it was just plain old sanctified. How many times y'all hear that word in the church today? Sanctified. What faith do you sanctify? Born again. What's your religion? Born again, Christian. Back then we say, I'm sanctified. Folks, they say divine folk, they walk and they came to respect. Hello? But they respect the idea that you were sanctified. They respect the ideology of the way you dressed and who you served. And they knew that you was in church all the time. So they felt like you had a connection with God. So they gave you respect. But born again, Christians don't get that kind of respect today. Because it's just a word. It's not a lifestyle. Being sanctified was a lifestyle. That means that you're set apart for God. What you used to do, you don't do that no more. Now God has separated you from your family even. If they ain't sanctified, he will separate you from them. Because sometimes you got to come out from among them in order for God to bring them in. You still hanging around trying to do it for God. Step away. Lord, I'm leaving them in your hand. I'm going to go ahead and pray and do you go to church every night, yes, and daytime too if it's open. Because I love God like that. Hello?
Yeah.
And so while you're there, you're praying for them, and things start happening in their lives, and you're praying, and then you go over there, well, let me help you. Stop! Then you pray for God to save them. What you messing up for? We forget, Deacon Ash, we forget that we're not praying for God to save our children, and then they start going through, and we start going in there, and that's going to empty our pockets, we'll mortgage our home to get them out of the mess they got themselves into. And God has said, didn't you tell me to fix it? What you doing over here? And then you got yourself in hocked up to here, and then they go back and do even double what they did before. I ain't going to do it no more. And then they do it double. Hello. But we're praying, Lord, save my husband. Lord, save my husband. And then he start going through on his job. He loses his job. And you're worried about it. You got to work. I'll take care of everything. No, I'm about to get you a job. I can't do this by myself. What did you do? Hello? Now he's up there, he's struggling. You're going to go through with him. And he went on, bring us out. If you told God to save that man, so this is what it's going to take to get him in here. Hello? You got to go there with it so I can bring both of y'all up together. So I can sanctify you too, because you need some work too. You know how we get sanctified, and we say, okay, I'm sanctified now. My husband ain't, or my wife ain't, or my brother, my sister ain't. So I'm holier than they are. And so, but Lord, I want you to save them so they can be like me. So God starts taking them through and taking you through too. Because he's working on you and them. You're praying for them, and God is interceding for them and you, bringing you up as well. Hello? So you can see who you are in God. Amen? So Jeremiah's book, when it starts, he began at the first chapter, and it begins with his call to be a prophet. When he first chapter, we'll see it. And then all the other 38 chapters talk about the prophecies and stuff like that. But chapters 40 to 45 describes even the events following his fall, the Jerusalem fall. And that book concludes with prophecies concerning a variety of nations. So read the book of Jeremiah, study it with your heart, but this is what we're going to talk about. Now, when you read it, you're going to feel the agonizing and how the people felt and what they thought and what they said for the messages and how Jeremiah suffered because he was the deliverer of the message. You know how they say don't shoot the messages? I'm just telling you what I was told. Somebody told me to tell you, and now you're mad at me. And so they were mad at Jeremiah. Well, they don't want to short the box with God, so they want to box with Jeremiah. He was closer to him, right? They want to be up on you because they can't be up on God. So you're telling them what the Lord said, what thus said the Lord. Hello? So pray with them. For those who refuse to respond to the truth, pray with them and watch the example as we begin to study Jeremiah for his faith and his courage. Sometimes you got to ask God, help my unbelief. Help me to strengthen my faith. Help me in your word. Put your word deep within my spirit so I can operate in it to increase my faith. But you can't do that if you don't read the word. Hello?
Yeah.
So then commit yourself to being successful in God's eyes so that you don't fall into the same judgment and disobedience that Judah. and Israel fell into. And Jerusalem was lost. Hello, destroyed. But thank God for his love. So in chapter 1, and I'm going to read from the English Bible, these are the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests from the town of Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. The Lord first gave messages to Jeremiah during the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. The Lord's messages continued throughout the reign of King Jehoiakim, Josiah's son, until the 11th year of the reign of King Zedekiah, another of Josiah's sons. In August of that 11th year, the people of Jerusalem were taken away into captivity. Now, here's Jeremiah's call in his first vision. Verse 4, this is how the Lord gave Jeremiah a message. He said in verse 5, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nation. Now listen, the Apostle Paul said, whom God has called, he has predestined. God saw you in the place that you are right now before you were even born in your mother's womb. He knew the day you were going to accept him. Hello. And he also knew the day and still know the day when you are going to really get real and receive him. Hello. But the Lord, thank God, has predestined us, and he says, I already knew you and the plans that I have for your life. God has a plan for your life, just like he had for Jeremiah, just like he had for Judah and Israel and Jerusalem. They don't know the mess that they're getting themselves into. We sometimes, as a people, think we got it all together, and we know what you don't know. So if your life is not going the way that you want it to go, the simple thing is that God himself has another plan. The goal that you set for yourself, God has another goal. And sometimes our plan will not, unless you're following the will of God, our plan will not line up with the will of God because we're not in his will. But when we get in his will, our plans will line up with his will. We won't be disappointed because we won't be looking toward the moon. When God says, I'm going to give you a star, we'll grab the scraps, the star, and be grateful for it. Are you hearing me tonight? So if your life is not going the way that you wanted to go, understand that God himself has another plan and that he has set it up before you were even formed, before your life was even made, before you came into your mother's womb. He already has that plan for your life. You can try as you might to make a change and to do it your way, but God already set you up. Somebody tell somebody you can set up. So in verse 6, O sovereign Lord, I said, this is Jeremiah talking to the Lord, I can't speak for you, I'm too young. How many times have we said that? Y'all said that. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. In verse 8, and don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. God has already spoken. Sometimes we go to God, God give us some reward of confirmation. Well, the Lord told me to say so and so, but God, if it's really you, you know. When I walk out the door, that apple hit me in the head. You know, something ridiculous. Because I got to have a confirmation. I don't want to just go out there and people look at me like I'm crazy. That's pride. When we don't want to go obey God because we're scared people, and, you know, people look at us and say, you should think he is, or who he think he is, or they're going to say, oh, that was God. We're so caught up in how people see us that we don't obey God. That's pride. God ain't pride. Hello? Because pride comes before what? Destruction. Amen? And some people even try to come up with what they think is a good excuse for not obeying or answering the call of God. It may not be that I'm too young, but they'll come up with something. Like Moses, I stutter when I talk. I can't even talk plain or clear. You want me to speak to Israel? God always have a plan. He always have a ram in the bush. All he wants you to do is obey. If he guides you something, if he sends you somewhere, guides you somewhere, he'll provide for whatever you have need of. Always ask him, Lord, where is my mouth? You want me to speak to these people? Where is my mouth? Let him know I don't know what to say. We're so confident in ourselves, our confidence has to be in God. I don't know what to say. When I get up at that podium and I'm already taking my notes and sometimes I'm looking, I can't have them. I got 3 or 4 letters coming together. I don't know what to say. My friends always want words in my mouth. Hello. So that I can be a blessing to the people. Otherwise, it's null and void. If there's no blessing, if there's no increase, no understanding, then it's all null and void. Verse 9, then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today, verse 10, I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. How many are willing to stand up against nations and kingdoms? Sometimes you may have to go to the Pope and tell him what thus says the Lord. Hello? I remember a long time ago, one of my colleagues at work said to me, I said to her, she was talking, she was Catholic, and she was going on about, you know, her saying her Hail Marys and all this stuff, and her prayers and stuff, and praying to this one for that, and praying to that one for this, and I was like, when are you going to pray to God in all of this? And she said, well, you know, you have this one, is what, when you lose something, you find something, you pray to that one, and uncle is up in heaven and he's watching over me and I'm trying to explain her, no, baby, that is not the way it goes. And so she's like, well, I grew up and I went to a Catholic school. I said, you did everything in the little book. Why are you at that school too? Yeah, but, you know, if everybody did. I was like, yes. But did you learn holiness, holy living? Look at you now. Look at the lifestyle you're living now. Look at what you're doing now. And we had a conversation. And she said, well, what do you mean? I mean, you have to be born again. You got to be saved. You got to accept Christ, and he's got to be your Savior, and you can't pray to all these other people and things because they're dead and ain't nothing they can do. You need to pray to the only true and living God in the name of his Son, Jesus. Everybody got to be out there. Everybody has to be saved. That's the Bible. Even the Jews, they got to be saved. They have to accept Christ, salvation. They have to receive salvation. She said, well, I guess Mother Superior, no, Mother Teresa, she won't be, she's not in heaven either. I said, she ain't saved. But she was the patron saint, and she helped this and she helped that. And I said, I'm not knocking that. God bless her for her kindness. But if she did not accept Christ, and I'm sure she did, she knew more than you did. I said, but if she did not accept Christ and be born again, no, she did not make it in there. Even her good deeds couldn't get her in there. And she got, I was in that conversation. And I said, David, I still love you, but you need to really seek the Lord so you don't get lost. Be lost. Hello. Amen. So we have to understand that when we have to ask God, help me, Lord. Help me to say what I need to say to people. Help me to stand firm. Sometimes it gets rough. Things will be hard sometimes. Some Christians don't want to go through nothing. Lord have mercy. Why? Jesus went through worse than you can even imagine. The apostles, the things that they suffered. Paul stayed in prison. Stephen, they chewed him and bit him and stoned him to death. They were so mad at him, they bit him with their teeth. Man, that was mad. Hello. Peter was hanged. His head was cut off. If they suffered things and this little stuff that we go through here, the Bible says it's a light thing to the Lord. And we suffer, we act like, oh my God, it's so devastating. I can't take it. Yes, you can. You're going to take that and some more. We just want to quit God when things start happening. Where are you at, God? We can't take nothing. Suffer. When you suffer those little bitty things that you suffer, please do not allow the enemy to make you walk away from your God, because that's what he wants to do, get you out from under the umbrella of protection so that he can destroy you. Because he don't like you. He don't like nothing that God loves, and God loves you. And he wants his desire to destroy you so bad that he even went to the face of God and going to and forth throughout the earth. I'm at him, and I'm on a gown. So, verse 10, he said, today I appoint you to stand up against nations and kingdoms. Some you must root up, tear down, destroy, and overthrow. They ain't going to like you for preaching the truth. They ain't gonna like you for standing firm on holiness. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't cuss. I don't sleep around. I don't hang out in the bad place. But I'm gonna be praying for you. No, I don't do that no more. That is not who I am. I've been reborn. I'm sanctified now. They ain't gonna like you no more. Because you're sanctified. Quit this born again nonsense, because it don't mean nothing. It don't mean a thing. People don't even count that as nothing. I'm born again. And then follow them. Be a fly on the wall with them. And the things that they do after they leave the church, the born again church, the things that they do in the midst of it tell you a different story. Because sanctified people don't. I mean, you fight sin daily. You fight that flesh daily. You stay in the Word of God because that's where your strength is. You stay prayerful before God. You come to your church services, to your Bible studies. You come to learn of this God. And when you learn, you begin to apply that word. And you don't go by your feelings. Whatever the Word of God says, you do it. Obedience is better than a sacrifice. Some people think if they give a big offering, okay, I'm in the house now. No, you're not. Hello? You just bought a good pew in the church. It didn't buy you in heaven. That's all. That's all. Hello? A prophet is going to affect change in an atmosphere. He's going to preach and he's going to speak a word to you that you may not like. And then you may, like you're in the right standing with God, you may like the word because guess what? You'll say, thank you for telling me that. Hello? I thought I was right, but now I know I was wrong. Help me. Show me how to fix this. You know how I can fix that? Oh, you dang me. And miss God. God sent a word of warning to you, and you deny it and say, it's not me, and God already knows you, and he's trying to help you. He said, help us is like denying the help that he sent you. I love David so much. You say, I have to tie that on my day. But I love him. Because not because of how wrong he was, he did a lot of wrong, but the heart he had for God. When the prophet came to him and told him how wrong he was, he fell on the face of the Lord God. He had many that said, oh, no, that wasn't me. Hello. And he began to cry out to God, ripped up his clothes and cried out to God, created me a clean heart, renew the right spirit on the inside. Let go, God. Look into my heart. You know my thoughts are far off. I can't go nowhere. You ain't got to. That's the thing that saints don't understand. Or church folks, saints understand. Church folks don't understand that God knows your thoughts are far off. He already knows when he tells you something before Saturday. He already knows he ain't going to do it. Yes, Lord. And he already knows. That's why our heart, we have to judge in our heart. Fix your heart. And I always say, guard your heart. The most important thing is what's in you. That's your heart, your soul of a rim. Things that will dirty you up, don't let them get on the inside of you. Talk from people that are poison your spirit and poison your mind. Don't let nobody call you up. You know what, Sister Sally, I got to tell you what Mary said about you. Hang up your phone. Your flesh won't hear it, but your spirit don't. There's a war going on in your body with your flesh and your spirit. Your spirit said, close your ears, God. Don't hear that because it's going to damage you. Hello? And they'll tell you, here you are. You and Margie, y'all friends, y'all been hanging out together, having a good time. And they'll tell you, trying to say what Margie said about you. Why did you need to know that? Everything is fine with you and Margie. And I just can't go. I just can't let you. You're my friend. And I can't let you keep going on thinking she's your friend. Now you just tore my heart out. I have no more joy. You just broke my spirit. Friends do not break each other's heart. They don't break each other's spirit. They build each other up. If I find something out, I might go to Martha and say, you know what, that was wrong what you said about something. You need to repent for that. God heard that. And leave it alone. But she will never hear what Martha said. Not from me. Because it'll break up spirit. Don't tell me how much you don't like me. I already know. God knows. Keep that to yourself. Keep pretending. But he keeps kissing me on my cheek and stabbing me in my back. It's fun. He's just keeping up coals of fire for me in heaven. So keep doing that. But don't contradict that man, but you don't like that. I don't want you to know that. I don't care. I still love you, and I'm still going to be praying for you. Hello? So a prophet is going to affect change in an atmosphere. When, as children of God, do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Those that don't have the Holy Spirit, seek for him. Seek for the Holy Spirit. He says, seek me while you may be found. I may be found. Call upon me while I'm near. Seek me with your whole heart and your mind. When you begin to seek the Lord, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? When you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will affect change in the atmosphere wherever you go. Because you're different. You take dominion and authority. You're not going in there like some little weasel, measly mouse, you know, I don't believe my God is able. But you're going in there with authority. And they're saying to you, well, you know what, I'm thinking this ain't going to work, but I know God. You ain't going to say, well, you know, that you might be right. As a child of God, the Holy Ghost tells you, you tell them about me and my power. Bring them to me. Don't you faint. Because you see somebody else faint. Some faint when the world faints. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to hold up. Jeremiah didn't faint. He cried and went in the dungeon, but he still told him, yeah, I know me and I want it, but God still said. Hello? From the dungeon, they could hear him yelling, repent! God says that you're going into captivity. He's going to destroy all of it. The enemy's going to come and take you. He's down in the dungeon. They still hear the word coming from him. He's still telling them what thus says the Lord. You may be in a situation right now where you feel like, I can't preach, I can't tell nobody, be a witness for God. Look at my situation. I guarantee, I promise you, when you override your feelings and override your flesh and begin to allow God to use you as a vessel, the deliverance that comes to you, not just the person that you're talking to, but God will deliver you too. It'll be twofold, threefold, fourfold. You got to be concerned about other people. Hello?
Amen.
And he or she, they may not have any friends. You may not have any buddies in town, you know, because you used to, some people can't go nowhere unless they got a bunch of people with them. They ain't never been leaving. You've got to learn to be a loner sometimes. After you obey the Lord, you find out. Because when they come around you cussing and talking, and you start talking about the Lord, and you're like, where did you get in conflict? Here she goes talking about the Jesus. Next time they see old Nico, because they're coming to me, and all she talking about is Jesus. That's the devil. Let him go. Let him go. Because some people in your life just to keep you boosted up, keep you praying, keep you on your knees. So stay on your knees and let them go. But if they mean Jesus, they'll turn around and come back eventually. They come to you and say, you feel saved. You pray for me. What church you go? Because something is going on in their lives because you've been praying for them. And God has erected change in them. So now they're looking for the deliverer. Hello. But if you faint when they say you act crazy with them and they say, what are you doing? What police you say? One time. What year was that? In 12th grade or 9th grade or whatever? Hello. And so therefore, your life has to erect atmospheric change. They have to know that a child of God is on the scene. It's as simple as that. When demons flee, when at your presence, then you know you're sanctified. When atmosphere changes, when you walk up in a crowd and everybody get quiet and turn just to hear what you got to say. They really don't want to hear, but they know to be quiet because you will say something about the Lord, so they're standing there waiting. And they may not say nothing, but as soon as you walk away, they go right back to their compliment. Oh, you know what? And he said so. But they gave you that much respect because they knew that you were real. They knew you weren't playing no games, right? And we got, as people of God, we got to stop playing games. We got to be real in everything we do in God, and we don't have time to mess around and play around. This is not a game. I wish people would be serious about serving God. This is, we're not here for playtime and fun time and who could preach the baddest message and all that kind of nonsense, but we're out for souls, seeking people to serve the Lord, the souls that are lost, people that don't know they lost, people that don't know they need a Savior. That's who we're seeking, right?
Amen.
Amen. So that's what we're about. We're seeking people for the Lord. So verse 11, then the Lord said to me, look, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I replied, I see a branch from an almond tree. And the Lord said, that's right. And you know what it means? It means that I'm watching. And I will certainly carry out my plans. In other words, it may look like, tell Israel, tell Judah, Jerusalem, tell them all, that it may look like I'm not doing nothing. You know, people say, if they've been talking about Jesus coming for years, he came for some people, he already gone. And believe me, he's coming for me and you at different times, but he's coming. Whether he come on a cloud right now or he waits until he comes, he's still coming. We're not going to be here forever. Some of us are coming closer than others, but he's still coming. Hello?
Amen.
So he began to tell him that I'm going to carry out my plans. Let them know I'm watching them. I hear the words they're speaking. Yeah, they've been saying that for years. Ain't nothing happened yet. I hear them. But don't think they ain't going into chastisement and rebuke. Don't think they're not going into captivity. You let them know it's going to happen. I spoke it. I watch over my word. The Bible said, God said, I watch over my word. The other do what? Perform it. So he said, you let them know I'm watching. And I'm going to do just exactly what I said I was going to do. God has his eyes on all of his servants. And if they don't carry out his will and obey his command, he has his own way that he's going to get to them. He told Ezekiel, I deal with my pastors. Don't bother them. Leave them alone. You set the people straight. But as for my pastors, I'll deal with them. You got pastors that are driving the people of God astray, that are leading them in the wrong direction, that are using them for filth and lucre and abusing them. Don't worry about it. Leave that parish and ask God to send you somewhere to a man or woman of God that really cares about the people of God and not using them, but pray for them. Because God said, I will deal with my pastors. He will. We can't do nothing about that. Remember David said, touch not the anointed of God. So we don't have the right to put our mouths on the men and women of God. If they mess up, that's between them and God. Hello?
Amen.
Just walk away from them. I'm not going to sit up under a man or woman that I know it. I'm not going to sit up on you, but I ain't going to put down on you. You belong to God. It's up to God to fix you, not me. Hello?
Amen.
And so I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to keep stepping. My journey is going to take me away from you. It's not going to allow me to be caught up with you. Amen?
Amen.
And so, in chapter verse 13, then the Lord spoke to me again and asked, what do you see now? And I replied, I see a pot of boiling water spilling from the north. Yes, the Lord said, for terror from the north will boil out for the people of this land. Listen, I am called the armies of the kingdom of the north to come to Jerusalem. I, the Lord, have spoken. They will set their thrones at the gates of the city. They will attack its walls and all the other towns of Judah. Verse 16, listen to this. I will pronounce judgment on my people for all of their evil, for deserting me and burning incense after other gods. I'm going to judge my people because they walked away from me and started to serve other gods. Hello, somebody. Incense that the Bible speaks of is talking about the prayer. He said they're praying to other gods. These people are praying and serving and being devoted to everything but God. They are devoted to their women. They are devoted to their men. They are devoted to their jobs. They are devoted to their money. People love money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. When you love money, you'll do anything to get it. They are devoted to alcohol, drugs. They are devoted to everybody but God. So God said, I'm going to deal with it. Hello? When you put anything before God, if it's your children, if it's your wife, if it's your husband, your finances, your home, your car, your automobile, anything you put before God, God will judge you because he said, I don't put no other God before.
I'm a seamstress, making a dress and laying it up against the wall, and every night I go on my knees and pray to that dress. I made that dress with my own hands. What can that dress do for me, Deaconette? Not a thing. It won't move. It can't come down off the wall.
Amen.
Hello? It's hanging on the hanger because I put it on the hanger. And it's a dress because I made it a dress. At first it was just fabric. But I made it a dress. So if I made it, it ought to be worshiping me.
Yeah.
Hello? But people, they worship, he said, the idols that they made with their own hand. And here I am, a God that brought them out of bondage. Fed them manna from on high. Raised the water out of a rock. Led them across the ocean on dry land. And now they want to serve anything and everything but me. And since today, if we bring it back to today, people don't realize that when they do things out of the will of God and contrary to the will of God, they're saying to God, you are not good enough. Hello. You're not powerful enough. You're not strong enough. Remember Hebrews chapter 10, 26 says that if you do, there's no more salvation for you because you willfully sin. You know it's wrong and you still do it. And God told Jeremiah, let them know. I know they wrong. They know who I am. I'm the God of their fathers. Hello. I brought them out of bondage. I'm the one that kept them. I'm the one that fight all them. I watch over them night and day. I was a pillar by a cloud by day and a pillow by my night for them. When they needed me, I was always there for them. And now I ain't going to serve. Oh, God. And let them know they ain't going to get away with that. Verse 17. Get up, he said, and prepare for action. Hello? The thing and the time that we're living in now, the preachers, they better get up. Get up from there. I used to say old time songs, get up and they'll sit down. God can't use you. Send our preachers to sit down, stand up in a little bit. They're sitting down because they're not doing what God said the Lord. Because they don't want to say to the people, you got to be saved. You got to repent. You got to live holy. Otherwise, you're going to miss God. They don't want to tell the people God loves you, but he don't love you in your sin. He hates that sin. Come out of that sin. They don't want to tell the people that you got to turn back to God. Because they might cut off the tithe and the offering. Hello? But they don't want to do that. But I guarantee you, I promise you, that when you begin to obey God, God will send the finances. He will send the deliverance. He will send the blessing and the healing in the house because the people of God need something. God knew that the people need something. They just didn't know that what they needed was God. The people of today need something, but they don't know that what they need is God. They need the Lord. They're looking for God in everything but won't search the word. The Bible says, search the scriptures. Because in them you will find eternal life, the keys to eternal life. Search the scriptures. They ain't looking for God in the scriptures. They're looking for God in the alcohol. They're looking for him in drugs, in another man, another woman. They're looking for him in their finances, in money. They're looking for him in their cars and their home. They're looking for God in everything but the Bible.
That's right.
Because the Bible is telling them the truth. Hello. It's just like the Apostle Paul said, it's like looking into a glass. When you read the word of God and you see yourself, you say, oh, he's talking about Israel, but that's me. Oh, he's talking about Judah, I've done that. Hello.
Yeah.
He's telling you what his judgment is for certain sins, and you're saying, you know what, that's what me and Bobby doing right now. I'm going to have to let him go. People don't want to read the word of God because change comes in the word of God. Christianity is not a game that we're playing. It's not just something to do. Well, I guess I might as well just go to church tonight. I ain't got nothing else to do. Hello? It's who you are. It's your lifestyle. It's who you are. Get up, he said, and prepare for action. Go out and tell them everything I told you to say. Don't you miss a word. Speak with my word. Go out and tell them. Do not be afraid of them. Now listen to what he said. He said, if you be afraid of them, if you don't tell them, if you don't tell a person what God says, he said, I'll make you look foolish right in front of their faces.
Right.
Hello? I've spoken a word God stuff together and repent, because why my word? It's his word. It's up to him to make it work. I don't make the word, he makes. So why my word? And I said, no, it ain't me. Yes, you. And that's it. God already told me. And then he come back one day, that's why I said, you, the Lord said, you're going to have a baby for us. I ain't even afraid.
Just me.
Lord.
And I put my hand on a baby.
And I'm praying when you're done. I'm praying about the Lord. I know what you told me. But this woman just told me she ain't pregnant. So now my spirit is fixed. I'm kind of crossed up now, you know. So I'm praying anyhow, so I know it's up there the Lord. And as soon as I think like I'm praying, to turn and walked off, went back to the seat. Hello? And about 7 or 8 months later, she told somebody to tell me she had a baby boy.
Oh,
all this time I'm agonizing on, why did I tell this lady that? They ain't seen her no more. But she said, I've been trying to find you to let you know I have a baby boy. So I learned, I don't care if they say no. And write it in blood. The Lord told me to tell you that. Now you deal with it. Hello? You won't vex my spirit. They won't always hear you when you tell them what thus says the Lord. But you do it anyhow. And I'm going to call Jeremiah. I told Jeremiah to pay it. They're going to look at you. But if you flinch one bit, if you hold back on what I told you to tell them, I'm going to make you look like a fool. So then when you do speak out, people say, yeah, you know, it ain't never foolish talk. So that's why you don't think when God tells me something, I bring it right out my mouth. I'll hold on to it. I'll try to work it out and figure it out. I leave it in his hand. God is up to you after that. Once I put it out there, it's up to God. People won't see you sometimes, and especially when the Lord used me, folks don't understand me, beginning. But it's been like that from day one. And I tried to do, baby, you know, like the dignitaries, you know, the Lord. And I tried. I tried my best, you know, to sit with my hand like this, and, you know, I look real all, you know, together and dignified. I can't. When the Spirit come on me, it's like, whatever. If the wind go one way or the hair, whatever happens, I don't care. I am loose and God is having his way.
Right.
Hello. You got to learn to surrender to the will of God.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't learned that, you know, that stuff and look so deep. I haven't learned that one yet. And I'm not trying to find it. Hello. Because, you know, we can get with something, you know, we get this deepness, you know. We sit up and we're so way out there. You know, and I'm going, you don't even smile, do you laugh sometimes? Because there's something funny, I laugh sometimes. Hello? I love to laugh. I laugh so hard, my chest hurts, my stomach hurts. I'm on the floor, it's just funny, I'm going to laugh. And as clumsy as I am, I fall a lot. I used to fall a lot, but if I fall, I'll be the first one to laugh. So falling is funny to me. And if you fall and you ain't hurt first, I'm going to check you and see if you're all right. You all right? I'm going to laugh too. Because it's funny. Hello? You say something funny, it's funny, I'm going to laugh. I'm not going to sit up and look like I'm sucking on a lemon. But in the minute, in the middle of laughter and enjoying Jesus with you, if God gives me a word, I'm going to speak it to you like it or not. Good or bad, you're going to hear it. Still in tune with God, and I'm still laughing and having myself a good time. Hello. So always be in tune with God. That's where Jeremiah was. Verse 18. For see today, I have made you strong like a fortified city. And we all know what a fortified city is. And that it cannot be captured. Like an iron pillar or a brazen wall. You will stand against the whole land. The king, now get this, one little old measly Jeremiah, a young man, he said, and they're going to look at you and say you ain't in the first place. Y'all already told them, too young. Didn't it? Hello, stand up, Melinda. Melanie. She's a young lady. God give her a word. They come to the bishop.
Bishop, I thank God told me to tell you.
Then you got to look at that. Because he said, I'll make you a brazen wall. So you're going to come and say, Bishop, God told me to tell you.
to tell you. And he's not going to tell you to rebuke his bishop because that's what he's going to do.
Amen.
If he needs rebuke, and you don't rebuke him, but if he gave you a word to give him, you're going to give it to him.
And you won't be like, well, I think it was the Lord.
Okay, then it was not, because you don't even know. That means you don't have a relationship, so see, you can get a relationship. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, God told Jeremiah, I made you stronger than that.
So that just let me know with the Holy Spirit, we got the Holy Ghost.
And see, Jeremiah didn't have the Holy Ghost on this side. Then God's Spirit fell on him with that strength. But now we got the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us, so we are like super strong. We are a fortified city. We are a defense city and a fortified wall. Hello. And so whoever you are, I don't care if you're a theologian or a professor of theology. You're wrong. Hello. Because that's not what the word says. Some theologians dissect the word and tear it apart so destructively. Until by the time they put it back together, it's saying something totally different from what the scripture is really saying. And now you are confused and mixed up, and you can't receive it. If it's not of God, don't receive it. I won't disrespect you, and I thank you for your opinion, but I know what I see in the word. And move on. Hello? So today I want to make you a fortified city that cannot be captured, an iron pillar or a bronze wall, and you will stand against whole land, you will stand against the king, you will stand against officials, the politicians that think they know it all, you will stand against them, you will stand against the priests, and they can't bless themselves, you will stand against the people of Judah. I don't care who it is, you're going to stand against these men, they will fight you. The devil don't want to hear the truth. He'll tell you, you judging me. Well, okay, you judge your own self because you did it, I didn't. Your actions judge you, not me. You always come in with controversy. The word of God is controversial to the flesh. It's controversial. It will not agree with your lifestyle because your lifestyle don't agree with the word. It's as simple as that. So he said, they're going to fight you. But they're going to face. As long as you stand firm and be that defense city, that fortified wall that I made you, they are faith. He said, because I'm with you and I will take care of you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Hello, somebody. That's a brave break right there. I haven't heard one. Hello? There you go, Christian. Somebody knows how to take a brave break. Hallelujah. I can't believe y'all.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Sometimes when God sends a word for his prophet, it'll cause negative responses from the people. When you tell people that their ways are out of the will of God, and you give them scripture unchanged, they will not receive you. They're not always going to hear you. They may accuse you of judging them in some manner, not realizing that the word of God is judge. Hello?
Amen.
And it will not come down to your level. You got to come up to the word of God. It is controversial. It's exactly what it is. And your flesh won't desire it. I'm sorry.
Amen.
In order to get this thing, you got to do like Jesus said. Amen.
Amen.
Because there's a war going on in your body. You got to be born again. You got to accept him. You got to make some changes. The apostle Paul said you got to be transformed.
Hallelujah.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, I don't judge you. It's your actions that judge you. And we're in the midst of trouble. We're in the midst of situations right now where our president has to make decisions on whether or not we're going to go to war against terrorists. This is just the beginning, people. This is just the beginning of the terror that's going to come on this land. And the saints of God ain't got no business fainting. We need to always, always be on our P's and on our Q's. We all need to always be ready. Not so comfortable and so complacent. You know why? Because when I say that's a praise break, everybody should jump up and praise God.
But everybody was sitting complacent like, yeah, that was a great thing.
When you attended, the Bible said, be ye also ready. Be alert. Don't be drunk. Don't be sluggish. Don't be sluggish, but be ready. Be instant, in season and out of season. Be ready to move at the drop of a hat in worship, in praise, in truth, in spirit. Be ready. Don't get so comfortable in your seat that you can't get up and glorify God. If something is good, you ought to be high-fiving the Holy Ghost and glorify God. But that's when you understand the word. And I get that. That's when you really understand the word. The fire comes. Healing comes. Understand that obedience is what gets us to the place in God where we need to be. Jeremiah had a hard task. Our job is simple. All we got to do is live the life. Those of us that don't have the call to preach, to teach the gospel. You're still a preacher, still a teacher. Your lifestyle teaches how you live, what you say, what you do. You're the teacher there. People see you. They watch your actions. They hear you talk a good talk. But can you walk what you talk about? Can you stand in the midst of the dungeon, in the midst of being in the muck and the mire? Can you stand there and still glorify God? Knowing that he'll deliver you, knowing that he'll bring you out. Is your joy full? Jesus said, I came to you that your joy might be remain and that your joy might be full. What is he saying? I brought you this word so that you will always have joy. Right? Even in when you're going through, you'll have joy. Don't let nothing steal your joy. Amen?
Amen.
Questions? Give the Lord a hand clap. Questions? Amen. Jeremiah was a prophet called by God. But God said something to him. When he said, I'm just a child, what did God say to him to encourage him? Say not that you're a child. Speak up. Preaching. What else did he say? I'll word your mouth. I'll speak for you. Why shouldn't he be afraid? And anybody else? God be speaking for him. He shouldn't be afraid because. Shouldn't be afraid to see what God says. And? Make him look like a fool. But he has no reason to be afraid because God was with him. And God set him up over the nation. And God gave him a charge to root up, tear down, destroy. Set him up over the nations with a great work, right? And so he should not be afraid because God's going to speak for him. And so he should not be afraid because God's going to speak for him. God set him up. He made him to be. He called him a prophet. What am I looking for here? What am I looking for?
There's no need for him to be afraid. God's with him. He's speaking for him. He gave him the word. He set him up. He told him what to tell the people. But there's something else.
Hello! Say that again. Hello! Say that again. Hello! Glory to God. Somebody was woke here tonight. He made up the fenced city. A fortified wall, a brazen. He made him where he couldn't fall. Not only am I going to be with you, but I'm going to put something on you that you're going to be able to stand. I don't care if you're in quicksand. You won't fail. I don't care who come against you. You won't fail. You won't fall. They ain't going to hear what you say, but you ain't going to care.
Amen.
God,
I made you that way. An iron pillar. He made them that way. Bishop always tell about them iron pillows, and then he's seen them when they put those iron pillows when he's working in cement in I-95, those great big pillows. He said, they put how much steel in them pillows? He said, I've seen a Bishop, I've seen a transfer truck wrapped around that pillow, and that pillow was still there.
It moved. It ain't not going to come through that pillow. That pillow will hold up there like a body.
Can you imagine that? Well, it doesn't matter who don't like it. Go ahead, baby.
And living in the wrong place,
know what? If I have to repent and I have to fall, I repent. But you know what? Because I've been watching the blood of Jesus. And you see, would never let me fall, never let me pass. But you know what? I'm sad because you know what? In Pastor Lulu, I went to him in the song that's of that back. Usher and everything, but you know what? Someone said to me, I didn't go to Pastor Lulu. I've been out of church for 4 weeks. But you know what? I didn't stay out of church. I went to Hollywood to a church. Because this is somebody killed the Lord. A man down there. I mean, killed his dad and his son. And but my heavenly father said, listen, don't be afraid because their weapon shall not form against you, shall not fall. In Jesus' name. But I don't like that part, and that because I've always been in the house of the Lord. You know, always been in the house of the Lord. So what? In the neighborhood that I'm in, Christ says, you walk away from me, you're going to be still, because you can never do that. I never take you, I never leave. You're a demon, you get to that. I lay in the bed at night at prayer. I jump in the car. I cry. I hear these things coming into me. But I know he always will be. Now I hear these things. But can you, I'm going to do this now. You better get out of this neighborhood. So God tell me when I was going home this evening, Christ said, you coming up in here. You ain't going home. He said, you coming up in here. You not going that way. You coming up in here. You're not going home. He said, because you belong to me. He said, I told you. I love to say you. He said,
Thank you.
middle of the season cold to us. It just takes 3 weeks better than six tax pajamas.
We're going to pray for God to deliver you. Because enough is enough. You understand that enough is enough? You got to be fully committed to God. Do you understand that? You understand that God needs you. He want to use you. But he can't use you until you totally sell out to him. And that's why you're going through what you're going through. But it's all for you. That's why you couldn't pass by him. But the devil is a lie. He thought he would destroy you. He tried to kill you a long time ago. And it's been that long since you came so close to death. He thought you were going your way out of about to not trust. Do you understand that? He did not trust. And because God didn't allow you to be killed by the devil, he sent you back here. And we're going to pray with you. We're going to rebuke that spirit of confusion that's following you because the devil's spirit is a lie.
He's
going to make
me great. He's a lie.
But he's a lie. And you want to leave that tape. You want to leave that tape. You want God to deliver you from that tape. That means you got to separate. So I told you about the people. That means you got to separate, okay? Open your mouth to the Lord.
Lord,
I have sinned.
I have sinned.
And walked away from you.
And walked away from you.
But I ask you to forgive me.
Forgive me.
I surrender,
over to you.
Everything I am.
Everything
I've got.
Everything I can.
Renew me, Lord.
Make
me fresh.
Make me fresh.
Like before.
Like before.
Baptize me.
Baptize
in your Holy Spirit.
Your Holy Spirit.
In the name of Jesus. I surrender. Everything I shall
in the name of Jesus, we come into the presence of every rule of all darkness. We rebuke the spirit of prohibition in the name of Jesus. The spread out of all this. Loose the death of our in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Just stand firm in it. Don't you go that route, my Lord. Hey, God, sit you right here for a reason.
Thank you.
Freedom. You stand in freedom, right? You know the way. Do it.
Thank you.
Well, it's Friday night if you want to come back through here.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. I have any prayer while we're standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah,
God.
Hallelujah,
God.
Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Father God, in the name of Jesus. God, as you stand in your holy presence right now, Lord God, God, placing hands upon your children, Lord God. This is your son and your daughter, Father. Oh, God, we come against every sickness, every principality, every hindrance that come against them, Father. We rebuke even the root cause of it, Lord God. Lord God, that your anointing power will rest upon them, Lord God. Now, in the name of Jesus, God, for a great work, we call it a greater work, Lord God. Oh, God, how I shout that our power. Sit down the ladder they race. Sit down the ladder they pile. Be shielded in the name of Jesus. Be ye made whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Let's bless the Lord. Pray, God. All hearts and minds are clear. Father, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for these your people that came out, Lord God, to your Bible study tonight to hear your word. We thank you for teaching, Lord God. We thank you for understanding. God, we ask that you write your words over the tables of our hearts, upon our memory, Lord God. Father, we thank you for the sister that came in tonight, Lord God, and rededicate herself to you, Lord God. We hold her up before you, Lord God. Asking, Father God, that you allow the angels to encamp about her, Lord God. Father God, give her victory, Lord God. When she go to her home, Father, we speak peace over her home, Father. Give her power and mercy, Lord God. Step on the follow the right, the straight, and the narrow, Lord God. Keep her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And God, bless these your people when we depart from this house, not your presence. Give us traveling words of the Lord days and highways, Lord God. For our incidents and accidents, mechanical fixes and breakdowns. The Lord, when we get to our home, let it be well and very well. We speak peace over this house, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For the glory of God. Let somebody bow their hand. Let us dismiss. This is the way.
Holding hands.
I said they had a hard third. Okay.
under the certain words on the 13th. And I changed it. I told Sam, and he told the third will be fine if it's a good word. Yeah.
All
right, Karen. You
all.
Yeah.
is. That fear could be her future last name.